Hello, welcome, 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 welcome. Wind down with MJ. Let's wind down, shall we? It is camp week. Excited about that. Thinking about what I'm going to be drinking while I'm at camp. Making my drink plan for that. This call is for anyone who is working on their relationship with alcohol or with legal substances that are illegal. Because we know that sometimes when we plan those things, then we have a habit of going in and getting food afterwards. Maybe our decision making isn't on board and we need to make some other plans. We need to do some other things. So that is what we are talking about tonight. This also really does apply, though, y'all, to nighttime eating as well. It is just that habit eating that we need to plan for. When we are busy and we are doing things during the day and we're not just sitting around, we finally give ourselves an opportunity to sit, take a load off, watch television, whatever it is that we're doing. And we're not go, go, go. Guess what we do? Guess what we've done for our whole lives? It's time to get a snack just to fill the time. During the day, whenever you're working and you're carting kids around and you're talking to friends on the phone and you're doing all that kind of stuff, we get to the end of the day. And for a lot of us, for a lot of us, it is wine, it is gummies, or it's just food. It's just a snack. We've just done it for so long. So now, how can we get intentional about it? How can we plan for it? How can we make better decisions around it? If you know every night you're going to have a snack or every night you know you're going to drink wine, let's plan it. Let's look at what you're doing now and figure out what you want, what you eventually want your drinking life or snack life or gummy life to look like. And then we just start making steps toward that. So this is open coaching about all of those things. Raise your hand. I will call you up. And yeah, we'll be working on that. We'll be working on that. Hey, Nancy. So, and if nobody wants coaching on it, if this is if this is something that you don't want, coaching on and nobody does, then we'll get out of here early. Krista says, I don't want to want it. Why is it a problem to want it? Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting something. But then you just need to look and whenever you want it, you just look. There are other things you want, right? You want to go to bed proud. You want to wake up without a hangover. You want weight loss this week. You want to make amazing decisions for the rest of the evening. And so, yes, I want it. It's not a problem to want it. There's a lot of things that I want that I probably shouldn't have or can't have. And just wanting it isn't a problem. It's about the conversation that you have on the back end. Speaking of wine, I see Paula's on this call. I was thinking about texting you, Paula, and asking if you wanted a glass of wine during camp. We needed to meet in the lobby. Paula used to work for No BS, and I've known her for a very, very long time. So, yes, and Paula and I, when we were, she was on the team. She was my wine friend. Krista, if you want coaching on wanting it, let me know. Raise your hand, and we will coach about it. Okay, I do have D has raised her hand. Let's see. Let's see what D wants to talk about. All right. Is she coming? Oh, it worked. It worked. It's slow, but it worked.
I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
Not so bad. I
Let me see.
want to raise my hand at first, but
Yes, here you are, D. Are you driving?
yeah.
Okay. Well, you have to get pulled over and then raise your hand and I will call on you again.
Okay.
Get somewhere safe, D. Okay. Lord, we want everybody to be safe while we on this call. Yeah, Nancy said, I want $1 million. Doesn't mean I get to have it. But you could work for it, right? You could work for it. I don't know. My Zoom has been acting good today, even though it is rainy here in South Carolina. Yeah, you can want to, you can have a desire to not drink at night. Nothing wrong with wanting to cut out drinking at night, and then you know what your goal is, just like you know that you want your $1 million. You just have to say, here's what's in the bank now. And then, like, here's where I want to go. And here's the first step I need to make to take to get there. Let's see. We have a question in the Q&A. Oh, Nancy, MJ, this is Nancy from Sunday. She was going to have surgery on her neck, right, Nancy? Surgery went excellent, very little pain. Good for you. My surgery's in 2 weeks and 2 days, and I can't wait. All right, we have a Q&A question. I'm looking for ideas or suggestions to help me in the moment when I get home from work, and I have built the habit of having something to drink, usually a hard seltzer. I don't drink to excess, usually no more than 2 to 3 over the course of a 4-hour period. But I do know for my health, it is best to work at cutting back. I do a day or two a week without having any drinks, and that usually goes okay if I find I'm keeping myself busy. At the end of the day, I want to do nothing rather than be busy. So what's next? What can I tell myself or pivot in the moment? So you could even make it easier on yourself. So you have a hard seltzer. So you could just have a soda water when you first get home, like a flavored soda water. And it's like, I'm going to substitute my seltzer for a soda water, my first one. So if you have 2 to 3, let's say you've decided you're going to have 3 total drinks, 2 will be seltzer, 1 will be your seltzer water. You could either do it first or stick it in the middle or have 2 and then switch to soda water. That could be your first level up. So you have 3 drinks. And then maybe you do your first 2 are seltzer water and your last one is a hard seltzer. So you're basically just inserting, so you're still keeping the same habit, but you're swapping out what you're drinking. Just like whenever I changed from wine, for a while I did do non-alcoholic wine because I wanted the habit for a while. That felt easy to me. So I did that for a good while. And then I switched to hot tea, like a decaf, like a sleepy time tea. And then I moved to, like, I did keep tea for a long time. Hard seltzer would be like White Claws, like, just a has alcohol in it and it's bubbly. She said, she came back and said, yeah, I've purchased a number of non-alcoholic options and have been enjoying those. Love Crystal Light Lemonade with lavender extract and also a diet tonic with lime. Great suggestions. Yeah, you can keep the habit of drinking something, just change out what you're drinking. That's a great first level up. Anonymous says, I'm looking for help on eating at night. I plan not to, and then the noise comes up. Just one bite. I want it, and then I just give in. Same thing for drinking, right? Whether you're talking about nighttime eating, or we could have put in Julie's hard seltzers, right? I bet this is the same thing that happens to her. I'm looking for help on drinking at night. I plan not to, and then the noise comes up. Just one, I want it, and then I just give in, right? Same thing. Doesn't matter if we're talking about drinking or we're talking about eating. All you need to do, again, Anonymous, the noise is not the problem. It's a habit. It's something you've always done. I want you to think about, like, your brain's job is to make things easy. Like, that's its whole job, put things on repeat. So what you've done, like for a lot of us on this call, it's either drinking or a snack. So that is what you've done. You go and you have dinner, whatever. I'm just saying, like, this could be an example. You go and you have dinner and you clean up the kitchen. Maybe you get stuff ready for tomorrow. I make my coffee for in the morning and then I go sit down. And your brain is like, well, this is weird. I don't like this. We always eat or have a drink when we sit here. Something's missing. This is not like it is. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how we do. So it says, hey, you know there's a snack. You're supposed to be eating now. We always eat. And it sends up an urge. And then you're like, no, I don't want it. I'm not going to do it tonight. I don't want it. You know you really do. This is what we do every time. So what happens is when you change and you pull that little piece out of your routine, it feels weird, like off almost, a little bit uncomfortable because something is missing from the routine. So when you decide that you don't want it, I want you to think about, I know it's going to be uncomfortable. When you're thinking about it, it sounds so good on the drive home. I'm just not eating tonight. You're listening to your podcast. Maybe you're calling your friend. It's like, I'm just not going to eat tonight. But when you set that habit loop into motion, that's when the urges will come. It's not comfortable. You do have to have a conversation. I mean, you're saying that it's a noise that comes up just one bite. And that's when you start the conversation. Girl, you know it's never one bite. Once you get started, you're just going to keep going. You don't need it tonight. Won't you set a timer for 30 minutes and then just do something else or take it out of your brain and let's just see how you feel in 30 minutes and we'll revisit this. You have to keep having the conversation. It does not just shut off. Think about it's a toddler brain. Think about your kids. Can I have a cookie? No. But that's not the end of the conversation, y'all. Why? What cookie? And then you're like, no, not today. You're not going to have a cookie. They don't just shut it down. And our brains aren't going to shut it down either. I mean, you can tell yourself it's a hard no, but it's going to argue. And if you're willing to have a conversation, every day the conversation will get easier. And the goal is not to not eat. The goal, just like I was telling Julie, like she's going to swap out some non-alcoholic in order to whatever, like, you know, to kind of cut back. You can do the same thing. So if you eat every night from 8 to 10, just grazing, going to get snack, whatever. And then at 8 o'clock, you start having the conversation. And about 8:15, you play Let's Make a Deal with your brain. And you're like, okay, we're going to think about this in 30 minutes. 8:45. If you still want it, you can go get it. What you've done is you cut the eating window down instead of 2 hours. And now it's 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then you can just keep going with that. But it's being able to give yourself a little bit of space to make a better decision. That's all it is. And it is seriously such a habit. You've probably been doing it for a very, very, very long time. So it is normal that you're still gonna want to have it. Same thing with alcohol, y'all. It's like if you always like have a glass of wine when you're having dinner, I mean, cooking dinner, say, you know what, tonight I'm not gonna have a glass of wine when I'm cooking dinner. Maybe you have one glass when you're cooking and one glass when you're eating. So tonight, couldn't I just make some kind of a something else and then just have a glass of wine with dinner? It's not about totally cutting it out. It's about how can I level up today to make today a little bit better than yesterday? What if you've broken the habit but still have urges for numbing, both drinking and eating? I mean, I still have urges for stuff. I don't have the habit of eating, but I always think like, God, that would be so good. That just would be. And then I'm like, you have to remind yourself, it didn't fix it before. It's not going to fix it now. The habit's gone. The urges are just, It's just thoughts that you have that create the urge. And some of the thoughts could be true. I mean, if I had a homemade cheesecake in there right now and I wasn't hungry, I would think to myself, God, that would be good. That would be so good. I bet it would taste amazing. There's nothing wrong with having those thoughts. And it's true. They would taste amazing. It would taste amazing. It would be great. I sure would like to have some. Yeah, I would love to have some. But I'm not hungry right now and I didn't plan for it. It'll still be sitting there tomorrow. Paula says she, Krista Snyder, let me see if I can find you. I'm going to just promote you to a panelist, Krista. You don't have to raise your hand. I found you. Is that okay if I just pull you up? Krista, let me know. And then Paula, if you want to work on a plan, you can raise your hand. We can work on a plan. We can hold each other accountable. All right, Krista.
Sorry, I'm sitting here in the dark.
You're fine. You're fine. All right. What are we coaching on, Krista?
So I've improved with the wine. Like I like to have a glass when I'm making Sunday dinner. So I plan for that.
Okay.
And I don't feel like it, like last night, I knew I was going to be tired when I got home. So I planned to have a cup of tea when I got home. So like you said about replacing, that worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even though I'm trying to rest more during the day, like before the kids get home from school or whatever, it just still, like I hit 7 o'clock and I just want everyone to go to bed. And I can't make them go to bed, so I have a glass of wine instead.
Why do you want them to go to bed?
I just want to be done.
What does that mean? What does done mean?
Like, stop having to make sure that everybody's done what they're supposed to do. Stop mediating all their crappiness to each other. Like, just everybody go away and leave me alone.
Why do you have to, by 7 o'clock, don't you know if they got all their crap together?
No, because some, like, the boys are teenagers, so sometimes they're just getting home at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember the nights of activities.
Yeah.
So what happens if you don't make sure they don't have their stuff together?
Then my husband thinks he needs to do it for me, and then that is even worse.
Why?
Because I'm better at it than he is. And it just turns into a shit show.
So you want to do it?
Well, like right now, I'm barricaded in my room. I made dinner. Like I told my eldest son, everything's ready. Go have dinner. Okay. My husband got home from work. I can hear him shouting at them right now.
Okay.
So, like, it's a no-win situation.
What would winning look like?
Like, everybody just do what you're supposed to do without a problem, and let's have peace and harmony.
Oh, fairy tale land. I love where you live. Can I come? Let's all go. Let's all go to Krista's imaginary land where there's peace and harmony and children get along. Why do you think it's important to tell your boys? You said boys, right?
Well, so I have an 8-year-old girl. My two older girls are out of the house.
Mm.
So right now all the boys are teenagers. And so I mean, the 8-year-old gets in the mix too. She goes looking for problems.
Because she's eight.
Yeah. But she's my favorite, so doesn't bother me as much.
Okay, so why do you tell your boys to make, why is it important for them to have their ducks in a row?
So that I feel like a responsible parent, I guess.
So you telling them to get their stuff together makes you feel like a responsible parent.
Yeah. Well, and I want them to be responsible people.
Okay. So by telling them everything to do, that makes them responsible?
Only if they do it, which, yeah, I mean, then it requires oversight. So then I'm just burning myself out.
Okay. So what happens if you just if you back away and you don't tell them the things to get their ducks in a row, then what happens?
So a couple things. It turns into a three-ring circus.
What does that mean?
Like they just go off the rails.
What does that mean?
Well, for the older one, like they wouldn't. Like if I didn't tell them to have dinner, they won't, the dinner would be sitting there until 8 o'clock at night. I mean, I know they're old enough to like say, I'm hungry, I need to eat, but they wouldn't.
They would just never eat again.
Well, but okay, so I get your point. But then, you know, then the kitchen has to be cleaned up. People need to take showers, there's a lot of moving pieces, so they can't just do what they want when they want. They need to be
Okay.
considerate of everybody in the house, and they like then if I back off, you know, kind of like you know, if you fix your own anxiety, the person you're holding the anxiety for gets more anxious. So if I back off, then my husband will try to step up, and
Okay.
it
Do you want that to happen?
for him to do it. I mean, occasionally, but I end up regretting it because he's very loud,
Okay.
and that like the noise is an issue for me, so it ends
Okay.
not being helpful.
So it sounds like it's very important that your kids have their ducks in a row. It also sounds like that you don't want your husband to do that.
True, yes.
So, why is it important for you to make sure they have their ducks in a row? Like, so it's like that it is important to you, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I want them to function well. I want, you know, the house to function well. I want them to be responsible, considerate people. And making that happen just
Well, it takes a little effort, right? It just takes some effort. Them
So,
kids ain't gonna raise theirself.
right.
So, but when you're saying in your head at night, I wish they would hush. I wish they would just get this. The truth is they don't get it.
Yeah.
One day they will, ish. So, what could be a different conversation that might lead to less frustration? Because probably right now, I shouldn't have to do this. I wish I didn't have to do this. I wish they would just leave me alone and go into bed. Why can't they just get along?
Yes.
All that's frustration.
Yes. So then I want to numb that with the snack or the wine.
I say let's get rid of frustration. So there's nothing to numb.
Sounds good.
So what would be the what conversation could you have about this evening routine that you have set up that would not cause frustration?
Conversation with myself.
Yeah. Because listen, they ain't gonna change. They're not gonna
I
change.
know. I know. I
There's
know.
only one person in this equation that can change, and it's not your husband, and
I
it's not your
know.
kid, even your favorite one.
Well, so I have worked on like identifying what is truly my responsibility. And I can do that, but that's where the problem with my husband taking over comes in.
Okay.
So, like I can say, them getting their homework done is not my responsibility. They know we expect it from them.
Okay.
Them going to bed at a decent hour, the older ones,
Yeah.
not my responsibility. They understand. They're getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
I close my door, which I don't like, but I've chosen to start closing my door so that I don't
Okay.
see if they're coming up the steps or whatever. I don't know what I can tell myself to let it go beyond that. Like, I can do those things, I just don't like it. Like, I can say it's their responsibility to go to bed, but I still am like, oh, he should have written that essay 2 days ago.
Well, he didn't though.
Right.
Who has to face the consequences for that?
Yeah, he does.
Can you, like, here's the thing. You can wish they would show up in a different way and still accept what they've accomplished. I mean, what you're saying is it's a pro, like you're making it a problem that you have kids that you're raising. You want them to be responsible, and you're making it a problem that you want more for them. Of course, you want more for them. You would love to save them the hassle of them learning to do their shit early. But what is going to teach them to do their shit early?
Feeling the consequence of,
Girl, ain't that the truth?
yeah,
I
yes.
know Krista's saying, you should work on that. You're gonna be hating yourself the night before it's due when you ain't done shit. And they're like, whatever, mom. And then the night before, when they don't sleep because they got to get it done and they're exhausted the next day, they'll be like, well, maybe I should start like one day ahead at least.
Truth.
I mean, here's a conversation. I mean, see, try this on for size. I'm gonna remind them of what is important. Food, baths so they don't stink, things such as that. Very important to me. Some stuff, it's gonna be hard to watch them make mistakes. but I know what I can back off from. And it's hard to watch them make mistakes, but I'm willing to do that. And I'm not giving away my weight loss to them learning their lessons, and I'm not giving away, my alcohol goals. And be uncomfortable too when you have to not do the thing. Because it sounds like you got great boundaries. Like you're like, I've already decided what I want to be vigilant about and what I don't, and I'm going to shut my door. And then the problem is when you're laying there worried about them, you want that to go away.
Yep.
You want to be like, I've set these boundaries and I've made my decision and my door is shut and I'm going to bed. I'm gonna unwind.
Yes, and that's where the snacks and the wine come in. That's the medication for, yeah, the like I'm behind my door, but I don't like it.
Why do you think you don't like it?
I feel like it's irresponsible.
What would you be doing that would be more responsible? Let's say you open the door, you come from behind your room, your door. What are you going to be doing that is going to make you a more responsible person, parent?
Making sure things get cleaned up. Just facilitating everybody getting on to doing what they need to do.
Well, you can do that. The option's available to you.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you do that, do you not drink?
No, I would still pour the wine.
So it's not that you don't feel like a responsible parent, because whether you feel like a responsible parent or you don't feel like a responsible parent, you're still drinking wine.
Yes, I just, I just want to be done. I just want
What does done mean, though?
like everybody go do what you have to do and be quiet.
Well,
With,
let's say that's not going to happen, because it's not. You got kids.
yeah.
And you say you want to be done, but then when you shut that door, then you don't feel like a good parent.
Yeah.
So when you let yourself be done, because when you shut that door, you're done. And all you wanted was to be done. And you feel like crap. And when you come out of the door and you're not done and you feel like a responsible parent, you feel like crap.
Yeah, I just get tired. It just doesn't like even trying to get more rest during the day before they get home, it just never
It's
seems
not physical tired. You're wearing yourself down with your conversation. It shouldn't be this way. They should be different. They should know this by now. They're old enough. I better go ahead and jump in, because if I don't, my husband is and he's going to yell. You're wearing yourself slap out. So you can take a nap, but mentally you're running yourself into a hamster wheel with your kids at night.
yes.
I want you to do something. I want you to try something for the next week. Before the evening comes in your regular nap time, when you're trying to rest, I want you to go ahead and decide, am I going to be done tonight? Am I going to go in my room? Or am I going to insert myself and make sure everybody is tucked in and the house is clean and shit's done and it's all good? And then I want you to write every day the five reasons why that decision is so important to you. It can't have my kids in it. It can't have my husband in it. Has to be you.
Okay.
Let's say you decide to insert yourself, right? So it could be, I have decided to stay up tonight and make sure everything gets done. It is important to me because I know if I keep a good schedule in the evenings with my kids, eventually they will catch on and start seeing what a good schedule looks like. And it's important to me to model that for my kids. It is important to me because I know when I insert myself, things do run smoother and it's more calm in the house. And it is important for me to have that kind of a home. It is important for me because I know that if I do these things, my morning will be smoother because everybody's gonna get into bed and I'm gonna have a great morning, a better morning. It's important to me because I want to know when I lay my head down in my bed that I have done everything that a responsible parent does and that, you know, I have done the best to raise up these humans today. And then over the course of the evening, keep that in your pocket.
Okay.
How do those things feel when I say them? Do they feel true?
Yes.
And here's the thing, you've got choices. That's the other thing. You do not have to be out there and you do not have to lock yourself up. Whichever one you decide is a choice, and you need to be making that choice from power, not because you have to. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a bunch of teenage kids that their parents, they never see their parents. They don't tell them to eat. They do not tell them to do their essay. They do not tell them to do all that stuff. It is not a requirement to be a parent. It may be a requirement that you have. When Corinne and I were talking about this yesterday, we learned something in school, in life coach school, called the manual. And it's like these set of rules that we have for people in our lives. But the truth is, you have a manual about what a mother does. And if you're in the middle of it with your kids, you are tired. And if you're not in the middle of it, then you're guilty.
Yes.
Because good moms do these things.
Absolutely.
Are you a good mom?
Yes.
What makes you a good mom?
I love my kids and I take care of them.
Yeah. If you don't tell them every little thing to do, you can still be a good mom. Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You are so welcome. All right. I'll see you later.
Okay, thanks.
Kelsey, my husband just got home. My back door is right outside of my office. So, it's right outside of my office. Hold on. Will you shut my door? Sorry.
Sorry.
All right.
All right.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Is it okay if this isn't like an alcohol question?
Yeah, we'll throw one in here. What is it?
So I'm realizing that like connection or like lack of a connection is trigger for me and my eating habits. And so like last night, I just felt like I was like grab assing a lot. Like, I didn't really want a full supper, so I ate a little bit, and then I was like, oh, I'm still hungry, so I'll have a peach, and then I'll have, you know, an Oreo, and then I'll have, like, you know, I probably should have a full meal, so I'm gonna have a sandwich. And I was, like, doing my discovery worksheet, and I think it was actually because, like, earlier in the day, I was, like, worried about one of my friends, basically, and then, like, my mom's not talking to me right now. And so I think it was just like all of that together, maybe like messed with my like emotions and my hunger signals. And I was wondering if you had some advice on like ways to feel connection, even if you're not like able to reach out to the people that you usually get connection from.
So what does connection mean to you? Like, what do you need in order to be connected with somebody?
I think just like feeling like I can reach out to them if I need something. Like, have I guess ever, maybe it's like,
you're a young baby, but have you ever lost anybody in your life that was close to you?
Yeah.
Do you still feel connected to them?
Yeah, in some ways.
Yeah. Can you reach out to them and ask for things that you want? They can help you.
Really, that I would like to.
So could connection mean something then reaching out is my question.
Maybe it's more so like feeling alone. Like I don't have anyone to count on other than, you know what I mean?
Okay. Who do you have people to count on?
In some ways. Yeah. Like you have different people to count on for different things.
Yeah. So you were saying you were feeling alone, like you didn't have anybody to count on.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have people you can count on. So last night you were just feeling lonely. You were worried about your friend. Did you reach back out and check on her?
To her, we had like a conversation earlier, and then like I left the conversation just feeling kind of worried about her.
Okay. And so last night you thought you were just feeling a little bit out of sorts. So was there at any point, did you ever think like, why am I doing this? I should probably stop now.
I was just kind of like, well, this is just because I didn't have like a good supper, you know, but now I'm like, no, actually, I think it was probably something else.
Well, when you went to get the you said you didn't want a full supper. So tell me exactly what happened. So you come in and you're like, why didn't you want a full supper?
Well, I was hungry at like 4 o'clock. And so I was like, well, I'll just have like a little snack. I had ice cream on my plate. So I had a little ice cream. And then I was like, told my husband, I was like, well, I'll start making supper for everyone. And he said, don't bother because the boys ate. I took the boys to McDonald's earlier. And I was like, oh, cool. So I just microwaved myself the leftovers and they were not very good. So I just had a little bit and then I stopped eating. And then I did get a little bit hungry later, but I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't eat that much because I had this, but then it was like not satisfying, I guess.
So it's not as bad as you said it was. You had on-plan ice cream at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You heated up some leftovers and you're like, nah, not so good. And then what happened? So you did not eat too enough.
No.
And then you said you got a little bit hungry later.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
I had a peach. I was like prepping lunches and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll eat a little peach while I'm prepping lunch. And then I ended up having leftovers of the stuff I was making for the boys. So I made a sandwich for myself and my husband. And I was like, oh, I'll have half a sandwich. But then I ate a whole sandwich and I probably didn't really need to have the whole one.
So all we're talking about is you ate a half a sandwich over.
Yeah, but usually I try not to eat after dinner.
But when was dinner? Was the sandwich?
Five. Five with the leftovers and the ice cream.
But you had ice cream at 4. You had leftovers at 5. Did you eat two enough?
No, it probably wasn't enough.
You were not at enough. And then a little bit later, you had a peach.
Mm-hmm.
Were you at enough with the peach?
No.
No, you never did allow yourself yesterday to have a meal. You finally decided at the sandwich that you were going to have your meal. You went off plan yesterday, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's it. So what did you learn?
Probably should sit down and eat instead of just like
Yeah.
munching.
Yeah, exactly. Like when the leftovers weren't good, you should have said, these aren't really good. Let me find something else for dinner, and then had your dinner and gotten to enough. That's all that happened. You were still hungry. And
Okay.
instead of stopping and saying, I'm still hungry, I need to eat a meal, you just kept taking bites here and there of things that never got you to enough. That's all that happened. I mean, do you think that that sounds reasonable or plausible?
Yeah, I think so. I was just like, maybe there has to be something deeper.
No, hell no. It does not always have to be some deep, dark, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it does not have to be. It's like maybe I'm a person who needs to just sit down and have dinner at a certain time. If not, I'm still going to be hungry and then I'm still going to be looking for something. It was not deep.
Okay, that feels like an easier problem to solve.
This is a way easier problem to solve. Do you,
Okay.
Tracy asked in the chat, do you have an accountability partner or group?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. So you got connection there. You're married. I thought you was living out. I see the like grass behind you. I thought you were, out on the prairie all by yourself. Then you start talking about kids and damn husband and all kind of things. I'm like, I thought you were just out there on the prairie by yourself, like Laura Ingalls.
That's so funny.
I
No,
know.
yeah, but my husband hasn't really been like a great source of connection for me lately. So I'm like trying to fill that gap other places. And then it just seemed like one day everyone had problems all at the same time.
As it tends to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're fine. You
Okay.
just are a dinner eater. And it's probably some of that has to do with habit. Like, probably in the past, when you started to graze, you just kept grazing. And so you went from one thing to the next, never really like sitting down to enjoy your meal and feeling satisfied. And then it was like you just kept searching for other things. And
Yeah, probably because it did mimic like I don't know. I don't really think it's like a binging, but like sometimes you just feel like a vacuum cleaner like on Teletubbies where you're like, where's the
yes. Yes. Is it new new? The vacuum?
something like that.
Yeah. I get kids. So, all righty. Well, thank you, ma'am. It's not always that deep, though.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye. Let's see. Anyone else want coaching? Anyone else want coaching? If so, raise your hand. We have got 10 minutes left. I'm happy to coach somebody, or we can call it good. So, here's the thing. I think we have learned a lot of it is it's not the overnight kind of fix. It's like, what is one little thing I can level up? And we were talking about that sort of at the beginning. So you have your relationship with snacking, alcohol, whatever it is. You want to look at where you're going to go. Like in a perfect world with the angels singing, this is what it looks like. And then you ask yourself, what is the one tiniest step that I can take toward that goal? It's not about like, we always talk about like binge eating as a like a, like a more like it's a bigger example. But it's like people who binge want to not binge. But it's, that's why we have like binge better. We used to talk about binge better. Like, what is one thing you can do better when you are, like for me, when I was drinking a bottle of wine every night, what is one step I can take towards the direction I'm trying to go? The same thing with weight loss. If you need to lose 100 pounds, you need to worry about pound number one. What changes do I need to make today to lose this next pound? You do not need to start worrying about pound 99. Pound 99 is coming. But it's like, what do I need to change today? What could I tweak today to lose 1 pound? How do I get there? What is the version of me that weighs 1 pound less than I do right now? What is she doing differently? I could maybe try today. It's the same thing with all of our habit changes. Like everything that all the different relationships we're working on. You see where you want to be, where you are. What is one step I can take to get there? All right. Nobody else has any questions. I am going to get out of here and go eat my dinner. All right. Y'all have an amazing night. If you're coming to camp, I'll see you at camp. I'm doing the Q&A tomorrow. Coach Lizzie will be with me. And we are talking about, what are we talking about? Busting your shitty thinking around planning. Q&A with MJ and Lizzie. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your week. I will talk to you later. Bye.